Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last year, around this time, a group of high schoolers in Chicago, the Chicago area, were off playing basketball. And they were laughing and having a good old time, and then they played on into the night. And as they were there at the courts, another group of people rushed them. And they rushed them with guns. And they shot at them. And one of those high schoolers was shot in the head. It was terrible. But when the emergency services got there, they found that he was still alive. And only a portion of him was paralyzed. So they rushed him to the hospital. And when they were talking about surgery, they said, you know, there's a 99% chance that surgery is going to fail. I mean, he had one chance, 1%, to survive. And he actually survived 3 surgeries. Well, that young man had other things to overcome, other trials. He went home. He had to learn how to do everything all over again. He was paralyzed. He was also left-handed. He was shot in the right hand, right hand of his head. And so that affected him. Every day, for months, 3 times a day, he had to go to rehab, to learn how to do things, how to speak, how to eat again, from liquid to solid foods, how to talk. He was just unbalanced. And throughout that time, he was very discouraged. Now, a report just came out. I was reading it. It came out this November. That young man made a full recovery. It's almost a year now. And a little more. He made a full recovery and is back in school. And he's able to do what he loves the most. He plays basketball for a team, and maybe that's his dream, but he was able to shoot hoops again. Every single day that he was doing that, he was encouraged and comforted by his family, telling him, we're going to be here by your side. And through all that, he made it. He was triumphant over what happened, his trials. Yeah, they were tough and they were hard and they hurt, but he was triumphant. Today, as we focus on saints triumphant, we think of that word triumphant, and we gotta admit, life doesn't always feel triumphant, does it? Not every day is a great day. Days are tough. We go through a lot of things. But nothing can really bring us down more than death. And in our reading for today, that is somewhat what Paul is pointing to, the grief that people have over others' deaths, especially the Christian. But Paul then brings us comforting and encouraging words in our 1 Thessalonian reading in chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. As saints triumphant, he reminds us that we are triumphant in Christ, and therefore we comfort with hope, and as saints triumphant, we encourage with the resurrection. I invite you to stand as we read our lesson for today from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men, who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the midst of death and grief, it tries to overwhelm us. Therefore, we ask through your comforting words and encouragement in Paul's words here, that you strengthen our faith through your word, for your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Reading this 1 Thessalonian here makes me think of a dear friend that I lost to death a few years ago. I have been in the presence of death before. I've sung to people who, in their last minutes, listen and then die as I walk out the door. I have been there with others who have lost family members and relatives and friends. But this person's death in my life, it shook me in a manner that I've never been shaken, and it made me grieve in a way that I've never grieved before. The only comfort that I had was that my friend believed in Christ and that I would see him again in heaven. Now, grief is able to suck the life out of us, isn't it? It can really draw us down and take it all out of us if we grieve in a way that is without hope. The Holy Spirit says through Paul, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." So the Christians in Thessaloniki here, they were struggling with something. They were struggling with the fact that there were people dying. They said they believed in Christ, but they died before Christ's second coming. I mean, they had seen signs of wars and all kinds, and they thought, are they going to rise from the dead and enter heaven? It was a real fear. It also makes a point how much they need to be studying the Word to be comforted, because God does teach they do. Those in Christ rise. But this was a real fear, and they were grieving to a point that it was almost starting to look like hopelessness. And those who grieve in hopelessness, they don't take comfort in the hope of the salvation prepared for us through Jesus Christ. They don't have faith in Christ. And Paul makes that contradiction. He has to first, okay? He says, the unbeliever does not take comfort in Christ. They have no hope. And this is what it sounds like. Maybe you've heard some of these things. They consider that the person who has now died, well, they did pretty good in life, and I think they might end up in heaven or whatever there is. They might draw our attention to the person who's died. Well, you know, I think there's a little good in all of us, so probably ended up somewhere good too. How about, well, I hope they're in heaven, even though that person is a Christian. There's doubt. Or the one who says, at the face of death, I'll never see that person again. It hits them. Maybe I should just live the life I want, the any way I want. You know, there's nothing after this life. I'll do whatever I care to do. Those are all hopeless thoughts and reasons to live. They think there's nothing going on after life, after death. But Paul contradicts that. Tells us there is hope. Paul informs us not to grieve over another Christian's death in hopelessness, because those people die in hope. Now, this doesn't mean we can't grieve, but we grieve in a manner that is unique. We grieve in Christ, in the hope that he's promised us, that those people will rise from the dead. And it's good for us. We take this personal time to really reflect on life and eternity. Because as saints triumphant, we know we have eternal life. Listen to what Paul says again. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Now, Paul gets the reality of things here. He understands that death is a heavy blow to us. And he softens the blow with using the word asleep. Now, when we die, Paul is making the point, those in faith, they fall asleep in Christ. In other words, they rest in eternity. There is a false teaching out there that teaches soul sleep. where the soul goes unconscious for a while. It doesn't know what's going on. And it actually takes away from the resurrection and judgment day. It takes away from those things. And it gets really weird. There's really no comfort if you really explore soul sleep. And that's a false teaching. Scripture tells us otherwise. For example, when Christ is on the cross, the thief asks him, "Remember me." And he tells him, "You will be with me in paradise today." We think of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man is in hell. Lazarus is in heaven. The souls are awake and they are there where they departed to. The souls depart to heaven or hell. So if we are to rest our head in the sleep of death, the Christian should have no fear because we awaken ourselves in heaven. Jesus comforts us and he says, "Because I live, you also will live." Now, faith in Christ comforts us because we have the forgiveness of sins. And in that forgiveness, we have the hope in Christ's promise, in God's promise, that we too will rise, that we too can have this comfort, that there is something after this life, that we are saints triumphant in the midst of the grief that we may face when people leave us and they die and they go to heaven. We have a hope that we will see them again. As saints triumphant, we comfort one another in this hope. And we should do this because the reality is some of us or some of our friends or relatives may die before Christ's coming. We need to take hope in what the promise is. And some of us have lost loved ones. We have lost fathers and mothers. Some of us have lost children to death. Some of us have lost sisters or brothers that we ache to be with, grandparents, grandma and grandpa. Yet we have hope in the comfort of God's promise. Those people had faith in Christ, and therefore they will rise, and one day we shall once more be with them in perfection. I want you to think back to that high schooler. That high schooler, when he got shot, the report said that he was discouraged at times, and he gave this report. Sometimes he felt like he was without hope. You know, why me? And things were really hard. I mean, just imagine having to learn how to function all over again. But at his side were his parents and his friends, and they continued to encourage him. They were encouraging him to continue moving forward so that he could overcome his trials. And he did. The headline itself on this report said he was triumphant and he returns to school, and it was a miracle. Well, Christ, he went through all the trials, the hard stuff that we cannot do. That is being perfect. He went to the cross. Not only did he die, he rose. And in the resurrection, he seals the promise to us that we will rise again. And that's what makes us saints triumphant. Of course, it's not something we do, but rather that what he's given to us. As saints triumphant, we encourage in the resurrection. Paul wants us to focus on that as we think of the end times. He wants us to think of heaven, of what's coming, that we will rise. And there is very much truth to that. That we can hold and cling to God with sure faith. We can hold it to him saying, "You promised us salvation for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. There is hope in you." And our reading tells us that the dead will arise. We'll hear a command of the angel. The trumpet will sound. It all happens suddenly in the twinkling of an eye. You know what twinkling is? Where it's just almost like a little light. You know, it happens. It's going to happen so sudden, so quick. We will be there with all those who have gone before us. Our mothers and fathers in faith. The children have died in faith. our friends that we cherish, all the relatives in Christ. We will also see all the other saints who have gone before us, who will wait to be with us and be cheerful to celebrate in the resurrection that we have. So Paul talks about this because he wants us to encourage one another, because we know life is discouraging at times. We can get down in grief. But he doesn't want us to just focus on grief. He wants us to focus on the resurrection. Yes, there will be times of hardship, but there is going to be an eternal life for all of us, where we will never suffer grief, death, or any sin again. Nothing will have a hold over us ever again, because we will be there as saints triumphant through Jesus Christ, who has taken all your sins and forgiven you, who has conquered death and the devil, and has won it all for us. We'll no longer be in that midst. We will be in peace and in joy forever. So now I want you to imagine just for a moment, you're at a funeral. Maybe right before the committal, or that you're about to put them in the grave. Or you meet some person once more who lost someone and they're grieving. How can you encourage them? Well, let's not just encourage by saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry," because really even the unbeliever can say that without hope. Instead, say with hope. Say it in love. And put yourselves in their shoes. Imagine what it would be like to lose your loved ones. Encourage them with the resurrection and what it means for them, for you, and for all those who hold to Christ. Paul's letter specifically to us Christians, so that we take hope in the resurrection, so that we're encouraged that we will have life eternal, again, without any of these things. So love that person that you encourage. Be patient, as Christ loves us and is patient with us. Because you know that he has made us triumphant through his work on the cross and in his resurrection. And in his resurrection, we too shall rise on that last day. When the Lord comes, we're going to see him in all his glory. And it's going to be an exciting day, because he will lead us in our new glory that is found only in him and through him. He'll lead us into heaven. That high schooler, he went through a lot. It was a very inspiring story. He was triumphant at the end, going onward and forward. And yet he had comfort and he had encouragement. We have all the triumph because of Christ. He didn't let death get in the way or grief. He only thought of us in love so that we would be with him for eternity. So we are saints triumphant. As we await the day that we are reunited with those whom we love who have died in the faith, we continue to comfort in the hope, the promise that God has given us, and we encourage one another with the resurrection until we enter heaven, where there is a host arrayed in white, robes of white in all their glory, and we shall be one of them as saints triumphant through Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.